Question: When Garuda is a pure devotee, why does he feel hunger, and in fact so much hunger that he has to eat fish? It is also said that during the Amrit Manthan Leela, when Garuda comes, Vasuki has to go away because there is a natural enmity between Garuda and Vasuki. Isn't it at the spiritual level there should be no enmity? Answer: the spiritual and the material are at one level two distinct things, and just because one is spiritual being doesn't mean that the material body will stop functioning in its normal way. For example, some people may say that Sanskrit is Dev Bhasha, is a divine language, is the language of the gods. And they may say that the Western languages are Mlecha Bhasha. When one becomes purified, if one was born in a country where English is the natural language, and thereafter a person becomes connected with Krishna, becomes a devotee, becomes deeply spiritually conscious, does that mean that they will no longer speak in English and they will start speaking Sanskrit? If they put in the effort to learn Sanskrit, they may learn Sanskrit. But just learning Sanskrit doesn't make them spiritual, and making and their becoming spiritual doesn't necessarily mean they have to learn Sanskrit. The soul is situated in a particular physical material body, and that body has its particular nature, and it will act according to that nature. What pure devotion changes is the intention with which we do our actions, not necessarily the expression of those actions. Once a leader of the Hindu Mahasabha, while meeting Mahasangha, while meeting Prabhupada, they told him that, "Swamiji, you speak Sanskrit verses in a very Bengali way." Prabhupada said, "What can I do? I'm a Bengali." "What do you expect, Prabhupada?" said, "I'm a Bengali." So essentially, Prabhupada knew the import of the Sanskrit verses. He was living that import, and his intention was simply to serve Krishna purely. But still, that does not mean that his Sanskrit pronunciation would no longer be Bengali. The accent would be there, because that's where the particular body he had got during this manifestation in this world had grown up. So with this background, that our spiritualization of our being means that our intention becomes spiritual, not necessarily the expression of that action has to conform with someone's expectation of spirituality. So it's not that a pure devotee has to necessarily speak in Sanskrit. They may speak in English. It's not necessary that they have to pronounce Sanskrit in a particular way. They may pronounce it in their own way. So now, applying all this to Garuda, Garuda has the body of an eagle. The soul is spiritual. Now, Srila Prabhupada is quite clear that when animals eat meat, they incur no sinful activity because they are simply acting according to their nature. We human beings have the capacity to discern between right and wrong, and we human beings have the higher consciousness by which we can understand how meat eating is unhealthy, is bad, and thus we can avoid that meat intake. So for animals, when they act according to their bodies, there is no sin involved. Now when a pure devotee is manifesting in a particular body, particular non-human body, such as in this case an eagle's body, then is it that soul will be transcendent to the body? if we say that he is in eagle's body, but then he is not meant to eat eagle's food, then why have an eagle body at all? Why have the beaks of an eagle? Why have the talons of an eagle? You could say that is for fighting the enemies. Well, they could, enemies could be fought in some other body also. The enemies could be fought with the human body also. There is variety in the spiritual world, and that variety means that there is, at the spiritual level, individuality. So when Garuda is a pure devotee, his intention is pure. Even if he is eating meat, even if he is eating fish, his whole existence is devoted to the pleasure of the Lord, and that intention to please the Lord will be manifested through actions that are done according to the nature of the body. So if he is flapping its wings, that is in the service of the Lord, and through the flapping of the wings, who knows, the hymns of the Vedas may manifest, the prayers for offering the food may manifest. And indeed, by being contacted with Garuda, the fish who becomes its food may well get liberated. Garuda is always remembering the Lord, and the fish who dies by coming in contact with such a devotee can also get elevated and liberated. So we can't just look at the externals and impose certain expectations on some people. So when the intention is pure, the expression of the intention will be according to situation. And the pure intention will have a pure result. So Garuda's eating fish will also continue his pure life, because he is simply acting according to the nature of the body that he has been given. And purification doesn't mean rejecting the nature of the body. It means utilizing everything that we have, including our body, in the Lord's service. And when a devotee works with this pure intention, even if someone is incidentally hurt, actually they get benefited. When Srila Prabhupada, out of his transcendental compassion, spoke strongly to someone, those people were still benefited. Even if they felt angered or alienated, Prabhupada's strong words would still enter into their heart, purify them, and sow the seeds by which their spiritual awakening would take place sometime in the future, whenever they were more spiritually receptive. The same principle applies to Vasuki also, that at one level there is no enmity between the Lord's eternal associates. At another level, when the soul comes to the material world, there is the functioning according to the body in which that soul is manifested. Now, Garuda may have an eternal spiritual body as Garuda, but when he comes to the material world, the body functions according to the material nature of the, according to the particular nature that the body is in. Even if it is Vasuki, we see that. Why Vasuki alone? There are other situations also when, say, Ram is bound by the Nagapash of Indrajit. Then Garuda comes, and just seeing Garuda, many of the fish just run away, and thus Ram and Lakshman are released. So for us to recognize that there is a nature, and that acting according to the nature is not a violation of the principle of devotion. The principle of devotion is that we don't work for the nature, we don't work against the nature, we work with the nature for the service of our Lord. So the nature of snakes and eagles are their enemies, but in the service of the Lord they may come together for particular purposes, but that does not necessarily mean that their natural enmity will no longer be there. So they are ready to work together for the Lord, but especially, now there is no mention exactly that Vasuki is a pure devotee. When the snakes are inimical to the Lord or his devotees, then like happens in the case of Ravana, Indrajit's weapons, snakes, they flee away. In the case of Vasuki, he was not acting inimically, but still it is described later that he, in order to be engaged in the service of the Lord in, of churning the milk ocean using the Mandara mountain, he had to be energized by the mode of ignorance. That means his body was in its own way influenced by a particular mode. Snakes are said to be in the mode of ignorance, and he was not an exception to that. So that was the intention to assist in the Lord's service, but still the body had a particular nature. He worked according to that nature. So if you understand that spiritualization of consciousness means intention, this means cultivating the having the intention of selfless service, not the suppression of one's bodily nature, then we can understand that Garuda can be entirely transcendental while also acting according to his eagle's body. Thank you.